Welcome back, guys, to another episode of T&M Bull. It's your host today, Jay, with also special guests Dan Ski and Mr. DC. How are you guys? You well?
Yeah, mate. Buzzing.
Yeah, very good, man.
Oh, great, great, great. I'm terrible. Thanks for asking. So, Prem, what did you think to results this weekend? I mean, I just think we all should just forget it and start rugby. What do you think, DC? We'll come to you first.
Nah, you've had a mare today, but it's it was tense being probably a West Ham fan. I'm not either, but it was very good. It's always good to have football these days, isn't it? With nothing else really going on, sport wise.
I mean, I totally disagree. I think there's other things. I think football should be shut down, preferably forever. Currently, I've got to ask you, what do you think? Mr. Dansky,
I mean, I've got to agree. It's got to be shut down now because it means the season stops, and West Ham finished fourth.
No.
So, you heard it first here, guys. Jay wants the season to stop, and Spurs will finish. What are you, ninth?
No. We'll null and void it. I mean, you guys asked that before, so you no gives these backsies, you know. Just fit now.
That was Cameron Brady.
We'll get one. Yeah. Exactly. But on a serious note, you must be ecstatic.
I feel a lot better than I was in the last half hour of that game. Probably one of the most stressful games I've ever watched for West Ham. I had to have a quick nap afterwards and do about four Stellas. But after coming back to my senses, yes, absolutely buzzing. Don't know how we got a three points off of you. Considering how the game ended, God knows how you didn't get an equaliser or a winner. But as we say, the FIFA bullshit was on our side.
Great, demonetized already.
yeah, because you make so much money from this.
Well, that's the aim. But on a serious note, I mean, I was talking to our viewers and listeners prior, and also other people, what is it going to take for you guys to change the GSP movement? You know, is there anything that they can do to actually, you know,
no,
you fall back in love with them?
We never were in love with them. I think the only way to connect with them again is for them to have a redeeming feature. Like, it's like if you could compare our, it's a strange comparison, but you could compare our board to the British government right now. Like, there's issues there, there's massive problems, but they don't want to admit it. GSB came forward and said, look, we've got things wrong, this is the way we're gonna fix it. We've made mistakes, we're human, we're gonna try and win you back. And fix it, but they don't. They hide behind people like Jim White on TalkSport. People will probably back pocket some money from them, they just get defended, which is the unfortunate thing. But like I said, the only thing that will probably give them get them back on our side, which is a very, very slim chance, is if they actually admit their faults and say how they're going to fix it, but they won't. They're businessmen, they're arrogant. I was talking to my dad today that even if we went to win the Premier League, the 0% chance that's going to happen, but if we went to win the Premier League, we still want them out.
I was saying that to your dad earlier. I was like, well, what's it going to take for them to actually, you know, there's got to be something. I think that is actually the way to go forward, to be honest. Like you've just said, admit your problems. Say, look, guys, we have messed up. We have done this. But the fact that they've ripped you up from your home as well, I mean, you know, I don't know how you can repair that.
No, exactly. Last time I was on, we spoke about that, how they took away our identity and stuff. But it's little things. Like I say little things, but these were out to big things. But my dad was telling me about, basically, there's this thing called Hammers United. And it's basically this group that's anti-board, and they organised all the protests and stuff. And there's so many stories with them, but there's one in particular my dad said about, I don't know what season it was probably last season or season before, where we had Liverpool away, and they only allocated 1,200 away fans, because something along the lines of the board have to pay a certain amount of money to get a certain amount of away fans. So Hammers United went to the board and said, why can't we get the extra 3,000? And apparently the board said to them, we'll give you the extra 3,000 if you pay the price for it. That's your, really? That's your board saying that, yeah.
I mean, DC, what do you feel about this?
I'm surprised none of this is like mainstream media, because I've, you know, coming from the outside and then not being a fan, you don't really hear this kind of stuff about the board and the protests. Or I didn't even know there was this group that existed. So I think it's very low key to the whole football community. But I think what's sugarcoating that is just the results and how they're going so well and how the team on the pitch is doing really well. But you don't really hear them on like 606 or any talk shows like that. So I think it's an internal issue. But yeah, it sounds mad from what I'm hearing.
The only talk show that it kind of gets coverage from is Talk Sport in a negative way. Like I said, Jim White's on Talk Sport and David Sullivan actually went on. Actually, that's another thing. When do you have another board member? Another chairman that will go on like Talk Sport and give an interview? So the cup game where we played Everton, we got, I can't remember what the scores, but we lost in the League Cup. David Sullivan went on and complained about how he'd had to spend, what was it, 50,000 to get the players up to Everton? Like £50,000? Yeah, exactly. So
what's he doing? Carrying them on his back?
I don't know. But no, anyway, back to TalkSport. This Hammers United group I've just said, the organizer, I don't know how it works. I don't know if it's a committee or anything, but one of the main dogs of it went on TalkSport to make their views across. Apparently, TalkSport absolutely annihilated them and didn't actually get them a chance to like articulate his points of view.
Well, they do that a lot, Dan. I mean, you only have to see what they did with Arsenal Fan TV. Yeah. You know, they're very heavily lean on the right. You know, I think that's what they do. Yeah.
But I know I'm seem to be bumming this Hammers United, but this group's got 16,000 members. I probably should have researched this, but there's been a few protests now, and the last protest was outside the stadium. And it had 8,000 people show up, but like you say, there's no media coverage because like these top dogs are protected. you go back to talking like the government are protected and stuff like that, but it seems to work in a similar way with like the sports broadcast industry. They just don't seem to broadcast these kind of little things that matter to these clubs.
It was 8,000.
8,000 at this protest. Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy, and I didn't hear anything about that. Did you, DC?
No, nothing at all.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's obviously, it's not happening at the moment because of COVID. But like every couple of months or so, there's always like this big protest outside the stadium. They go on a march and stuff. They raise money for there's this little girl called Isla who's got the same condition as that Bradley Sunderland fan had. And they raise money for her. So there's loads of positives and stuff. But yeah, they just don't get it.
Just to confirm, if our listeners or viewers did want to do, well, how would they donate, Dan? Would they just go on the page that you've just said?
Let me have a look, see if I can find the Twitter page. But there is a donation page for Isla. If you want to move on for now, I'll have a quick scan round.
Yeah, while Dan looks for that... DC, how do you feel? Where do you feel like West Ham's going to finish this season? Because I keep thinking that they're going to drop off, but they keep doing it. I mean, could we actually see a top four finish? What do you think?
Do you know what? I think this end of the season is going to be crazy. If we will find out more about the news tomorrow, but if there is a chance that fans will come back before the end of the season... Yeah. I think there's going to be a massive, massive difference to how the way some teams play, because some I think for example Liverpool have had a massive drop off, not only because of their injury problems and whatnot, but I think the fans give them that extra boost more than I think any other club in the league, and
that's a great
point. I think that they will have a massive boost having their fans there as their 12th man, and other clubs like with. not necessarily a toxic atmosphere, but where things aren't going so right. So maybe you're possibly a West Ham or places like that where the fans can have a negative impact on the team, or things going off the pitch might not be going so well, could drag the players would be influenced by that in a negative way. So I don't think that would happen in West Ham's current form, but if things were to slide for other teams, you know, like Man United is getting at the minute they're drawing 1-1 with Newcastle. If that were you see a lot of impatient fans getting on the players' backs, and if that would happen back at the stadiums, that could negatively have an impact on some players, and then therefore the results might drop off. So it really just depends. But I could really West Ham.
Jackie Weaver, you have no authority here.
I think West Ham definitely got a shot for top 4, 100%. I watched the game today. You just don't do that to Tottenham. I know Tottenham are in a bad run of form at the minute, but you just don't go and beat them convincingly until the first goal, until Spurs' first goal went in. But you know,
I don't know what you think, but I feel like we play Spurs at their own game. Like how you've been playing recently. Like you score a goal and then you protect it. But as I said, the team you have, you shouldn't be doing that. Like you always say to me. But we just struggled to keep the ball today. But when we had our chances, we took them. That's the main thing. So and that's
the defense was so solid today, that first half.
Craig Dawson's been a revelation. Like whoever,
it's a tank.
Mate. Like I mean, I don't think it's one person who said when we signed him, like he'll be a baller. But we all slated the board and
actually, if I remember rightly, he was actually saying he was going to be terrible. Can you remember?
Well, yeah, even when he played for Watford, he was crap. But Moyes at the moment seems to be able to turn like these average defenders into absolute Virgil van Dijk's. anyway, I've got the link here. She's actually Isla's actually under the Bradley Lowry Foundation, but she's on justgiving.com/campaign/charity/the Bradley Lowry Foundation/Isla Canton, if you want to put that in the description when you put it on YouTube.
Yeah, we'll put that in the description, guys. Obviously, all of us here at TNM Ball, every penny counts, wouldn't you?
Yeah, man, they've got a target of 600,000. Basically, you want to get her to the USA for some treatment to prevent her from relapsing. They're at 96%, they're at 576,000 now, so they're almost at their goal. So, hopefully.
I mean, our supporters are great anyway, so I'm pretty sure somebody would help, you know, and that's the main thing. Even if we get one viewer, even one, just to donate to the link, I think that makes a huge difference, you know. I know it's hard when you watch this on the news, guys, but these are obviously real people, and it is a small child, and they don't get a second chance. So, I mean, what's a quid? What's £2? A cup of tea, you know? I'll be donating after this show. I'm sure you guys will as well. It's a great, 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 great cause, and it's just so sad, isn't it? Yeah. But on a different note, let's move on. I'm with Cecile here, Harden. I feel that after the lockdown and the crowds come, I think your form would dip dramatically.
We were talking about that earlier. Like, I know as a West Ham fan, like we can be a tough fan base. Like you misplace one pass, and the crowd will just turn on you. But we also were saying, like, is that the negativity towards? Like what that's come from the board and the move and stuff. Like it's just sort of worked its way down, and the little things are starting to become like agitating and stuff towards the crowd. So it is possible, but you got to take the chances while they're there. And if we get Champions League football while the fans are away, we got to improve on that and sign some really good players in the summer. So when the fans do show back up, that they're not going to be as intimidated as some players have been.
Now, do you feel like if you didn't get in the Champions League and the Europa League hit you, would that be a negative? or would you just be happy to get into Europe? Because we've talked about this personally, and you'd rather not even get into Europe if I'm right in thinking, if it's not the Champions League, because you squad
that. Yeah, exactly. It always comes back to the board. Like, I don't trust the board properly improving the squad for us to compete in Europe. Like, if you look at likes of Burnley, they got into Europe. And those extra games just completely destroyed that the next season. I know. But then you look at Wolves, they haven't got the biggest squad, and they've managed to do it okay. They're not in a relegation battle, they're not in a European fight. They're just sort of mid table. But yeah, it's swings and roundabouts, and I don't really want to take that risk. All we want at the moment is stability. If we get Europe, that's great. But we want a board that has ambition and wants to build on that. And if we're as depleted as we are going into Europe, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly so.
Cecile, Mr. DC, yo. Do you think Fulham can get out of this?
Oh, wow. I hope not, because as a Rangers fan, you don't want to see the other West London teams do well. But you know, they've got, anything can happen. Like I say, anything can happen with the team. I think Scott Parker's doing really well with what he's got. And it just depends if the other teams will capitulate. But to be honest, I feel that the bottom three that are going to go down, there are not that many games left. And, you know, every team's going to have their runs, and then every team's going to have their drop in form. So when that all balances out, you'd say that they will just not have enough. But you know, they've taken their chances. They did well over Sheffield over the weekend. But, you know, it remains to be seen what happens.
But if Newcastle don't get a point off United today, Fulham will be 3 points behind them. So there's always that. Like, it's not over just yet. Like you say, with Sheffield and West Brom, I definitely think they're down. But I don't know. Like, Scott Parker's like giving them an identity now. Like, when we played them, they're so hard to break down. They just lack in front of goal. But he's got them playing, and that's the kind of manager you want. He's got a belief and he's sticking to it, and it's working. But unfortunately, when you've just not got that clinical striker, it's sometimes, as we know exactly, but it's a different ball game when you're at the top and down at the bottom. At the top, it's a weird kind of magical thing where when you're at the top, the luck goes for you. Like, in recent weeks, we've been playing terribly, but we've been getting results. Whereas at the bottom of the table, you start playing well, but the ball just does not want to go in the back of the net. Yeah, it's a weird thing, football. But no, I reckon Scott Parker will get him out of it.
Do you think he's an overrated manager?
You can't call someone an overrated manager on their first job.
What do you think, Cecile? I've heard comments, people saying Scott Parker isn't up to it. He shouldn't be in this position. All these other managers are out of their depth already. I mean, what do you feel about young managers, DC?
Well, I kind of agree with Dan, to be honest. You can't really say he's overrated when it's his first job. But, you know, Lampard, would you call him overrated? Gerrard, would you call him overrated? I think you've got to give these up-and-coming, you know, player-type managers a chance. And to be honest, the hardest job you could do, I believe, as a Premier League, as a manager, is to keep your team up in the Premier League with the resources that you have. So I think he's got one of the hardest jobs in football at the minute. But he's doing well, and you know, it hurts me to say it, but he's got a really good chance of keeping them up. So yeah, let's just see what happens. But you know, he's doing a great job with what he has. Just like, you know, like a Sean Dyche or Tony Pulis for a number of years. You know, he's got a big job.
Well, funny enough, with the money, it feels they spent a hell of a lot of money in the summer, didn't they? If I'm right, and they spent like 100 million.
I don't know. I don't follow them too closely, but
no, I'm not sure how much they spent. But you look at Villa, the season they came up, they spent like 100 odd million, and they struggled.
My point.
But like I said, that Fulham squad was lucky to even get promoted, like to beat Brentford in the championship playoff final. They needed to even have a chance in the Premiership. They needed to improve their squad. So if they've got the money, spend it. But like I said, even if you spend all that money, you're going to have players that maybe aren't at the top of their at the top level, because obviously they're coming to a newly promoted side. But yeah, like Cecile says, it's one of the hardest things to get out of a relegation battle, especially when you've not got a striker that's really in form. They've not even got a striker currently at the moment. Like, obviously Josh Madge has just come in, but they don't really have a striker that could take a penalty. That's how bad things were getting for him. But no, how can you say he's a bad manager? Like we just said, like he got him promoted out of nowhere. He's 18th with, what is it, 7 points from safety at the moment. There's plenty of games left.
It feels very reminiscent of the Fulham aspect, like you've just said. They spent so much money in the summer, and it just feels like exactly the same situation. They're even in the same position, for goodness sake, you know. It's a gamble. When you spend that much money, you have to stay up. I know how rich they are. I know how rich these individuals are. But even for a billionaire, 100 million is a hell of a lot of money. And if you go down, it's not acceptable. That's why the chairman's son or whoever started texting, if you remember, at the start of the season, yeah, Saying how bad they are. Now, DC, do you think it's acceptable for the chairmans and even the directors to even quote on what the manager's doing? Or do you feel like they shouldn't even have a social media account linked to football?
Well, our previous chairman...
Or is it good? Or is it good that they're in touch with the fans?
I think there's got to be a way that you do it. I think that it's important that chairmen are well known to the club and they're not just, you know, someone hidden who you've never met before, or you have no knowledge about and stuff, because you need to have some kind of presence within your club. And you know, it could backfire on you though if results aren't going as they should do. And then, you know, you have a manager merry-go-round at your club. We had that at QPR for a number of years. And our chairman, Tony Fernandez, was very vocal on social media. So a lot of stories would get out and yada, yada, yada. So it does have its pros and its cons. But to be honest, my personal opinion, I do like a chairman who's open and honest and who wants to... Who wears their hearts on their sleeves about the club. The last thing you want is a chairman who blocks their way from any presence from the club or from their supporters and makes decisions that you don't agree with and can't comment on them. And importantly, does have no interest in the football club at all and is only there for a business point of view. That's the worst thing you probably have.
Do you feel like that's happening with West Ham?
I don't think it's so much like it's just there for a caption. They obviously have intentions for the club. I think it's about, you can't compare them to the likes of that American who owns Sunderland, who literally just signed a cheque and had nothing to do with the club when they got relegated from the Prem, from the Championship.
Did you know they've now got a 23-year-old as their chairman?
I saw that in the news the other day.
Yeah. Don't know.
You mean like some like Jurgen Klopp lookalike?
I don't know, it just flashed up on my phone, but it's crazy how young these entrepreneurs are now.
What club? Sunderland. Just to confirm?
Yeah.
Sunderland? Wow.
Yeah, Phil Lewis.
I mean, that's a whole different conversation, isn't it? But just sticking with the current Prem, are Newcastle going down, lads? Or is Brighton? You know, who do you feel is going to go in that third spot? Or Fulham just going to stay?
Brighton will stay up. They're very... Yeah, they're...
I just think it's because we want Brian to stay up, to be honest. I mean, including UDC, we all really like Graham Potter, don't we?
I was going to say, probably go down to the last game. Last game. We've not had one of those in a while. We like last game of the season.
Yeah, we did last season.
Was it? With who?
Yeah, West Ham Villa.
Oh, but do you remember that one where it was that crazy one where there was like 3-4 teams in it? I want one of them again. And there was like Wigan or something, Diego or something like that. score the goal or something, and then
kept
or something. I can't remember. That was amazing. Something like that would be really good just to cap off what's been a crazy couple of years.
There were 4 teams at the bottom, wasn't it? If you remember, 4 to 5 teams, and everybody could get out of it, even the bottom club. And when you were watching it every 2 minutes, I think all clubs at one point got out of it. It was such a great day. It was just mental. I mean, would you like to get a cup win? I know we talked this about before, but I'll start with you, Dansky. If Spurs win the Energy Cup and finish in mid-table, would that be a successful season?
What, for Spurs' ambition?
Would that make Harry Kane
no,
stay?
No, I don't think it will. How old is he now? 27. So, yeah, I mean, finally he'd have a trophy to his name. But the team you have currently, you got some. You had a front three of world class players today. They're players that should not be in ninth position right now. Like Heung-min's Son, Kane, and Bale's finding form now.
I think he is.
Stick to Kane and Son, the more consistent of them. Like, they're two players who don't particularly deserve maybe to be in ninth position. They should, like, they're in the prime at the moment. They should be looking at the heights and the big trophies and stuff. And I've never been in that position, but you want to look back on your career with some pride, saying, "Yeah, I won that." And you don't want to look back on your pride. Don't look back on your career with regrets. Even as a Spurs fan, you probably wouldn't blame them for leaving if you finished like where you are now.
So, I do currently believe as well. If Bale was just given games, he would. We've talked about this many times in private, stating that you need 10 games like FIFA to get that Kem boost up. Without having game played in full, it just, you know, just don't get it. You just don't get the link up. I mean, Son and Kane have such a great green link between them due to the fact of how much they play together. And I'm not being funny, but Bale is clearly still on yellow due to the fact of he's basically still a Madrid player, isn't he? I mean, how much do you think it affects the performance, or do you just think he's not up to scratch, Bale?
Yeah, like he's got the like you saw today that he has the class is still there, but as if he believes he's still got it, or he is there for the paycheck. Like he's got to be he's the most highest paid Premier League player at the moment on loan, and sitting like gathering dust on the bench just to be brought on. In the 70th minute, like they took him off. They didn't start him today. So I watched an interview with Mourinho saying because he played in Europe and there's no way he could last 90 minutes. But
that's crazy.
Yeah, today he showed a lot of class. He was unlucky not to score when he hit the crossbar. But yes, the Son had an off game today, which is weird. Like Su Val pretty much pocketed him. Kane should have scored. That's and all the front three all should have scored. But
what do you think, DC? Sorry to cut you off. DC, what do you think to Bale? Flop, or do you reckon he just needs more time?
No, I think when he was supposed to come in, he was supposed to help them straight away. You know, he had this 5-week injury layoff or whatever it was before he actually started, so that should have been had enough time to, you know, do the stuff in training, because when say there's the 10 games and stuff, that's like an immediate impact thing, you know, to get used to playing with the team and everything. But you're supposed to do that in training anyway, so, and to get to know the boys. And you know, he was being lauded as, you know, coming back, and he didn't want to ruin his legacy, and he was saying all the right things, and then just not perform in the Premier League like he used to, you know.
But especially with a so-called world-class player like him, but if you look at players that have just come in. And in previous ones, like you look at, just name two, Bruno Fernandes and Dimitri Payet. Bruno Fernandes coming, like not particularly unknown, like he was ripping it up with Sporting, but not a world class player on that level. And then bang, he makes an immediate impact. Same with Payet. Payet, no one had ever heard of Payet, and then some out of nowhere, he fitted straight away into that side and started making differences straight away. That's what you want from, what is he on, 600 grand a week? Like, you can't expect someone on that wage and with that kind of, like, with that kind of ability, if he hasn't got the belief, then maybe, I don't think he is a flop, but I don't think he's worth that amount of money.
Well, you can see, can't you, both you guys, how the Spanish league has fallen into peril and in so much debt. I mean, giving the player 600k, that just wouldn't happen, would it? I mean, you see the craziness under Ozil, was how much money he was on. And then you've got someone like Bale. Like DC was saying, he's on 600k a week. You need him to run out and start from the blocks. None of this, oh, he needs to gel. You know, not with 600,000
a week. Is he quite injury prone as well?
I just don't get it. He's hugely injury prone. I mean, how do you feel about players who say, for instance, he did the whole Instagram. Did you hear about that, guys, where he messaged saying he's not fit to play to the manager, and then later on someone on his social media account posted, yep,
no,
training's going
that.
Well.
No.
Yeah, and then Mourinho had to come out and basically state that, yeah, it wasn't that we didn't want to play him, it was Bale come up and said he didn't feel comfortable, he had a nagging injury and he needed a scan. So they had a scan, everything was fine, but he couldn't play him still due to the fact of he said he felt uncomfortable and injury free. Now, that would be fine if you're on 10k a week, but being on 600k, I don't really think it's acceptable. You know, I know that players know their bodies better than everyone else, but it's a hell of a lot of money. And if I could get 600k players, I mean, that would sort our whole defense out. We didn't want to pay Koulibaly's money because it's too expensive. You know, paying 100 million, which I agree, for a 29, 30 year old, you can't be spending that amount of money. However, Spurs, like you were saying beforehand, has a great and a world class attack and a great midfield, but our defence is championship to League One. I mean, do you not think, I mean, especially our centre backs are horrendous.
I would say championship in League One. They're definitely Premier. They're definitely Premier League centre halves. But it's
Sanchez, yeah, Premier League quality.
He has his good games, but there's that balance you're talking about here. You've basically got a top four attack with a bottom half of the table back two. So there's not that balance there that you want.
We were messaging before the game going, who's going to mess up first? Dyer, Sanchez, or Diop?
Great game.
And it's just, if he could get his consistency right, it'd be a fantastic, amazing play, but he isn't. DC, what's happening at QPR, man?
Right, good amount of form at the minute. We've won 6 out of our last 7. So we're flying at the minute. Because of how the league has gone on, and our first half of the season, we won like 4 games out of 24. You know, we were near the bottom of the table, and you know, even after these games, we're only still like 13th or something like that. I think we're like joint 9th or something still. So we're 10 points from the playoff, the last playoff place, but we're also 10 points from the last place in the bottom 3. So that's as mid-table as anything, to be honest. So, you know, we hope the form continues. We're playing some good football. We just want to continue winning. You know, there's nothing better than a winning team and a winning mentality. Certainly to change, because, you know, the signings that we brought in, a bit more experience, still up front, Charlie Austin, the main man, coming back to the club. See, in comparison to Bale, just the impact that Charlie has had right out of the blocks, obviously a little bit older than Bale as well, and making an impact just shows that, you know, if your head's in the right place and you know the game, you know the league. I know we're in different leagues and stuff, but he's come in, made an impact, changed the mentality of the team, helped the young players, being a leader, and he's been smacking in goals as well. So, you know, results speak for everything with the impact that he's made. So long may it continue.
I'll ask you first, DC, and then we'll go on to Danske. But what's it like supporting a championship club? Because obviously, I know West Ham's been there before. But what's it like?
Well, I think I was saying
this
yesterday. I don't remember if you were on the chat when we were talking about this while we were playing F1. But I'd rather have my team playing championship football week in and week out and being competitive in the most competitive league in the world, rather than getting smacked week in, week out in the Premier League. That's just not ideal. If I were to have those two options, I'd definitely take Championship football over Premier League football.
You'd rather have the couple of wins and everything than have the glitz and the glamour of the Prem.
Obviously, the ideal situation would be to be competitive in the Premier League, and winning some games, losing some games, but being competitive. Obviously, that's what any club would like. But if I had to choose between, you know, fighting, being in the dogfight, relegation battle in the Premier League compared to fighting for the playoffs, I'd rather do that. And we were having the conversation last night about, oh yeah, because you know, you could start your season really poorly like we have and be near the bottom, but then get a string of few wins together and then you could be looking to playoff positions. You know, it's never too late to make a change, and it's amazing. No, I was just going to finish up by saying I'd rather be having that than what, for example, what Fulham and Sheffield are having at the minute, and West Brom.
Danske, what's it like, Spine? Obviously, you've been there with West Ham. What's the difference?
Well, to be honest, you can compare both this season and our Championship season. Last time we were in the Championship, they're quite similar. But now we spent the majority of the Championship first place, and then we just kind of like dwindled down into the playoffs. But like Cecile says, it's just that consistency with the with performance and the results. I mean, we were relegated and came back up straight away, so we kind of had a kind of Premier League side, but not at the same time. We had a lot of players leave, a lot of players come in, but like I've said before, there's no point being in the Premier League when you're just battling for a place and you're not battling for anything really. You're not battling for the title. If you're not fighting for an FA Cup final or League Cup final, then what's the point? At least in the Championship, you've got something to aim for. Playoffs are a fantastic day out. Like, I've been to a playoff final on one. Cecile's been to a playoff final on one, and we'll both say that it's the greatest feeling. And
how did you guys go up? Was it via the playoffs, or was it?
We went up.
I can't remember.
Same as QPR.
Yeah, we had a last minute winner, which feels even better.
Yeah, I mean, as much as it would have been nice to get that automatic promotion, you can't be a day out like that. It's obviously very similar to a cup final, but with a lot more on the line as a Premier League place. But then then you do get promoted, and then what are you doing? You're fighting for your lives to go back down to the Championship, or you're fighting just for mid-table just to be there, really. So it's just the money side of things now. Like, there's no competitiveness. Well, apart from this season, obviously. But in recent times, it's just who's got the most money and who can bring in the best kind of players and make them gel, really. But Championship was great fun. Like, I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Like Cecile said, Mr. DC, I do believe it probably will be better, wouldn't it, going in the Championship and winning week in, week out. And being in that relegation battle, I think people are realising that the Prem isn't the be-all and end-all anymore, and there is life after the Prem, right?
Yeah, of course there is.
Yeah, the more competitive the Championship is, the more excited. I think Championship football is going to, if not already, take a bigger spotlight around the world because of how competitive it is.
Now, I'm only saying this because if you guys can remember, I don't know... Obviously, you're only puppies compared to me. But growing up, you know, the Championship was necessarily a laughing stock, you know. It wasn't the competitive league we've got today. The whole basis of it was like, if you go down to the Championship, then that's it. I think due to the money aspect of it as well, it's gone up dramatically. You know, not only the quality, the competitiveness, but... you know, the attendance is going up there. I mean, when you see teams get relegated, normally that's it, isn't it? You know, people stop coming to the games. But yeah, the league has grown so much, and I don't think it is a laughing stock no more. Wouldn't you agree, lads?
I never really thought of it as a laughing stock. Like, remember when it changed to the Coca-Cola Championship, whatever it was called, and that was when it was a bit of a laughing stock. That's when we got relegated, I think, in 2003. But nah, man, like, we just look at Brentford. Brentford have just bought a new stadium. That shows you how much money kind of is in the Championship at the moment. Like, before even coming to the Prem, which I'm sure is inevitable, that they'll get here, but they've got their new stadium. They've probably got one of the best recruitments, like, in the country at the moment.
100%.
Like, they sell Ollie Watkins and they bring in Ivan Toney, arguably playing better.
Can you imagine them guys?
Exactly. So, yeah, the Championship's a completely different ballgame now compared to what it was 10, 15 years ago, which is good. Like, yeah, Championship's really, really enjoyable, especially towards the end of the season when that sixth, fifth and fourth place is up for grabs.
Hi guys, it's Will from TN Bull. And before we start this podcast, I just want to make a massive shout out to BK Accountants. They're an easy way to complete your tax returns. So let me explain, okay? They offer accountancy services suitable for absolutely everybody. They're a proactive and friendly service. They're open 24/7. And most importantly, they guarantee to be 25% cheaper than your current accountant or anybody else who is doing your accounts. Don't take mine and Jay's word for it, however. You can find them at www.bkaccountants.org.uk. Or if you want to send an inquiry off, you can email accounts@bkaccountants.org.uk. Thanks for listening, and let's get into the podcast.